The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say unto you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Amen. The storm of the king's judgment impends and erupts upon the horizon. Its lightning can be seen. Its pealing thunder roars in the distance. Sons and daughters of the king, open your eyes and your ears and see and hear that the day of the Lord comes, and it comes quickly. Because there is no escaping that day, not by simply ignoring it and pretending that it doesn't exist, or by burying your head in the sand. And when he comes, all of these things around us, everything that we can touch and sense, all of that will pass away. It will dissolve into non-existence. The moon, the sun, the stars, and the earth. Right? Not one Amazon order that you have placed will remain under your Christmas tree. I promise you that. Right? That's important too for us to remember. Right? In this secular sort of season of mammon lust, which is what it is. Call a spade a spade. The tree, the star, the lights, even the nativity creche will all burn, right? For behold, the day is coming, the word of God says, like a burning oven, when all the arrogant and the evildoers will be as stubble. And every one of us will stand before the throne of the Lord of hosts. Before us will not be some whimpering, milquetoast, many different-faced God, right? No Allah, no great architect or supreme spirit or whatever you want to call him. We will stand before the immensity of Jesus Christ in his great glory. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, of our fathers. And he is the God of the Holy Church, the bride and nation of Jesus Christ. And there is none other than him. He and his words will never pass out of existence. And so even now, and especially now, as we feel the changing of the seasons around us, and seen signs in the sun and the moon and the stars all around us. You know that the storm of Christ impends and draws near. He is coming. So be prepared, be ready, and be warned. Be ready and look unto the east, because the Son of Righteousness, the man Jesus Christ, is drawing near. Now, before any sort of storm that comes our way in this world, you and I stand utterly defenseless. And have you ever stood, especially if you're at the beach, right? You ever stood at the ocean and watched a storm roll in and noticed how small you are, right? How seemingly insignificant you are before such an immense storm, right? The wind and the waves outmatch us every time, every time. Even with all of our so-called advancements, with all of our electronics and radar and whatever, still the storms rage and levees break and rivers flow where they will. And from all of this, standing small in the face of all of this, you and I need to be protected, don't we? Because we are weak. We are not nearly as strong as we pretend to be. Clothing and shelter are necessary to the survival of the human race. I mean, can you imagine, I just heard them last night, a pack of coyotes. Imagine a pack of coyotes gathering around a campfire with their fresh deer that they've killed to roast it over the fire so that they don't get some disease from eating raw meat. Can you imagine them having to do that? No, you cannot. Can you imagine a silverback gorilla taking banana leaves and sewing them together to keep himself warm at night? I bet you cannot. Because no animal needs food to be cooked. No animal needs clothing. Really, in many, many ways, we are the weakest and most needful of all of God's creatures. We really are. We live and endure only by the love and the merciful care of our Father. Because in the same way that we stand before the storm that is weak and powerless, so too do we stand before the law. We must be protected and sheltered. All of our good works, all of our deeds, all of our righteousness are blown away like dust in the wind before the gathering storm of the coming of the Son of Man. Because our works are no match. No match for the unbending might of the law. They are stubble, they are ash, they are nothing. Not one of your works will ever justify you. Not one. Against this storm, we stand exposed and vulnerable. We are laid bare before the King of creation, our hearts darkened, our minds debased. Because we have nothing that we can bring before the King to brag about or boast about. Nothing. On our own, we are done. Now, it's at this point that more sensible preachers would offer you some small amount of comfort. But it's Advent, and I'm not going to do that. Perhaps we'd get some sort of shallow false words to deny that the storm is really coming. Because what some will do, and pray that I'm never among these, what some will do is preach the law, but preach the law without any teeth, right? We like to be dentists with the law, don't we? Pull all of those mean, nasty teeth out. People do that, maybe now more than ever. They would cry, "Peace, peace unto you," when there is no peace. They would scratch your itching ears and tell you, "Don't worry. Don't worry, Jesus can't be like that. He can't expect all of that from you. And he's more like your kindly old grandfather. He just wants everybody to kind of smile and get along and hold hands and sing Kumbaya or whatever." This is exactly, by the way, what the rebellious ingrates thought about Noah's God. Before it started to rain. Exactly what Lot's son-in-law thought about the Lord before he was consumed in Sodom's hellfire. The world won't hear this, of course. It just won't. Because it considers itself too smart, too sophisticated, too enlightened to hear and to heed the word of our God. But my brethren, the word of the Lord endures forever and contains wisdom beyond the foolish wisdom and might of men. It's the word of God that actually tells us what God is like and who God is. Not Oprah, not the Quran, not Kanye West, and certainly not what it seems like he should be in the silent recesses of our own hearts. Because our hearts are sin darkened and they fail us all the time. And the word of God tells us that he is coming. And with him is coming the judgment. And it also tells us that men are saved by no other name under heaven but his name. And the path of destruction is wide and welcoming. It's even easy, right? But the way of our Lord Jesus Christ is narrow and difficult. And most of the time, and I want you to remember this, most of the time, it is at complete odds with the way of this world. But you, sons and daughters, do not fear. Lift up your heads, the word of God says to you. The Son of Righteousness has risen in Bethlehem, and he has gone to Jerusalem to secure your very own salvation. He has come in mercy. And he does this, thanks be to God, not because who we are, not because of who we are, or because of our anchorless, blown about by the wind, good works. He does it because of who he is. Because of who he is and who he was and who he will always be. He has flung wide the door. The grave has lost its ability to sting every one of us who are in Christ Jesus. And so, my brothers and sisters, rejoice. Your redemption himself draws near. And soon the great and dreadful day will be upon us. Finally, the Lord will relieve you, not only from the chaos and suffering of this world, of which there is much caused by the sin of others, but also from the sin and from the shame that we have brought on ourselves by our foolishness, by our disobedience. God, who does all things well, will make all things right. He will not abandon you, his son, his daughter, because this world is not all there is. The judgment is coming, and praise be to God for it. Because we will see him as he truly is, our beautiful Savior. And you and I shall stand before the immense glory of this King who loves us, and you will not be broken. All things in our life point to the fact that we will break before this king, but you will stand before him whole and well. You will not be blown about. You will stand in the coming storm by the king's grace. Jesus Christ himself is your shield, your fortress, your rock, and your protector. In him, the raging storm is but a gentle summer breeze that blows beside the still water that he leads you to. In the culmination of all things, there will be no shame. If you can believe it, there'll be no regret either. And we know that because there'll be no sorrow. He is all in all. And his works, his life, his death, his perfection stand in your place as your righteousness. They atone for you. They are the shield he holds up over you in the coming storm. By God, get under this shield. He has done all things for you. Believe it. Believe it. That's all that you must do. Believe it. And guess what? It's yours. It's yours. Grab onto it with a hand of faith. Trust it. Trust the word of the Lord that endures forever. Because if you try to weather this storm on your own, or if you try to seek shelter from anyone or anything else, you will die. Right? I'm just being as frank as I know how to be. Right? The Advent season requires no less of preachers. Now is the hour of our salvation. The storm rages about on the horizon. Its lightning can be seen. Its thunder roars in the distance. You hear it. The kingdom of our God is at hand. Open your eyes and your ears and see that the day comes quickly. All these things around shall pass away. But one thing will not. One thing we are promised will last forever. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of his baptism over us, of his absolution around us, of his last will and testament in the Holy Supper inside of us. These will never pass away. The word that spoke you into life in the waters of holy baptism. The word that gave you God's name will never pass away. You will be his forever. You shall be ever one body, one holy bride, united not by men, but by God, with, by, and in his word. And so it will be that when you, brethren, you, brothers and sisters, lift up your heads and look up, you will rejoice, because it's your redemption that draws near to you. And he loves you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.